Amen. Thank you, Judy. Open your Bibles here this morning, Book of Proverbs. Let's continue our series of the Book of Proverbs. This is part three, A Life That God Can Bless. And Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20 says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent or blameless." Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that is truth. And Lord, I thank you as we gather around. I thank you for the book of Proverbs, Lord, the wisdom that you give us for living our lives from day to day. And Lord, I just pray that we would embrace all that your word has to say to us. Thank you that your word is the living word of God. It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, bless us as we gather around as your people and give us ears to hear, God, and a heart to perceive all that you have for us. And Father, thank you for being faithful, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us into all righteousness. So Lord, bless us as we gather around and help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and honors your word, the living word. So Lord, bless us. And thank you for each one that's here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How much money does it take to make you happy? And somebody once thought about that, and his answer was, just a little bit more. Is that true? You know, sometimes we can desire things. And part about Proverbs here, it does give us some very practical ways when it comes to financial matters here. Now, last number of weeks, A Life That God Can Bless is one that deals with his sins in verse 13. A Life God Can Bless is one that fears the Lord in verse 14. A Life That God Can Bless in verses 16 and 17 and other verses there that treats people right. And A Life God Can Bless is one that handles his financials matters correctly. And we're going to look at some of these verses and financial matters here this morning. If you look at verse 19, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of what? Bread." That means what can you see in just those few words? "He that tilleth his land." Well, that means he's going to be working. And one, that he owns some land. He's got some property. He tills it. He works it. And he gets the reward of his labors. He's got bread to eat. New Testament says it a different way. If a man doesn't work, he ought not to what?
Eat.
Is that true? Would America be better if that was held to? It would be. If a man doesn't work, he ought not to eat. You know, it's an amazing thing how a person's appetite will motivate them to work. If they get hungry enough, they're going to want to work. But God's word is wisdom for us. It's practical wisdom. And as we look at these matters here, does God have an opinion about it? He certainly does. Scripture has a lot to say about financial matters. "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread." Well, that implies, one, you're working. The Bible says that 6 days you shall labor by the sweat of your what? Sweat of your brow. That's hard work. "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain or worthless or empty persons shall have poverty enough." Now, with the implications of that, if you want to be a successful person, you need to be around successful people. There was a young man one time that was talking to an executive of a bank as he was about to retire, and he wanted to kind of find out some trade secrets here. How were you so successful in the banking industry? And so the young aspiring man said, "Sir," he says, "how do you make such good decisions?" And he says, "Well, how are you successful?" He said, "We're making good decisions." And then he said, "Well, how do you make good decisions?" He said, "I made a lot of bad decisions." And that's the way it works. Sometimes you make a lot of bad decisions before you make good decisions. But what the book of Proverbs does, it's distilled wisdom that helps us see life through the eyes of the wisdom of God, that we don't make a lot of bad decisions before we make good decisions. Now, life can be a teacher. Experience is a teacher. And what we don't want to do is go through a lot of bad times to get to where we need to be. It's much wiser to stand on the shoulder of wisdom and experience and to gain that perspective that we have, that God's word can give to us. "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after empty or persons, vain people, shall have poverty enough." So it affects who you hang around. It affects your successful financial matters in life, how you live your life, can be affected by those you hang around with. A faithful man, in verse 20, one that's faithful to God, faithful to the teachings of Christ, faithful to the Word of God, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. God will work in their life. But he that maketh haste to be what? Rich. Now, I remember years ago in Virginia, when they, the General Assembly passed the laws that they could start having lotteries, selling lottery tickets. You remember a time when there was no lottery tickets? Do you remember that? Now, it's infiltrated our culture. Now, what's wrong with gambling? Well, gambling is based on being covetousness, because you are wanting something you have not labored for. That's what's wrong with gambling, because you're coveting. I want this. Well, how did you work by the sweat of your brow for it? No. Well, you're coveting it. You're wanting something that you did not labor for. Underneath of gambling, that's why believers do not gamble. And he that hastes to be rich has an evil eye. Now, when I was at that time, when the General Assembly of Virginia passed that law that it was okay to sell lottery tickets and do this, I was working at Thomasville Baptist Church in the inner city bus ministry, and I was visiting an inner city a lot. And I can just remember the weekend that hit there in the town. There was lottery tickets everywhere, in the parking lots, just by the hundreds. It was unbelievable. That was the inner city, the poorest of the poor. What little funds they had, guess what they were doing? Gambling. Now, when you gamble like that and you buy a lottery ticket, they tell you about the winners, but do they tell you how many losers they had? See, they always tell you, well, this guy won so much. Okay, I get that. But how many losers were there? See, they don't tell you that side of the equation, do they? No. So what's wrong with gambling? Can gambling be an addiction? I have known people that have gambled their houses away because they get into debt and they lose, they lose, they lose. And finally, they think, well, if I just win one more time, I can get it all back. And guess what? They lose what? Again. And they dig a hole for themselves they don't know how to get out of. I knew a man, he gambled thousands of dollars away. Now, these people that run these casinos, are they stupid or are they wise? You think you're smart, but guess what? They're going to be one step what? Ahead of you. That's why their buildings are big and you live in a small house, okay? Because they know how to work the system. They got you. Because they'll know, they'll let you win so far to get you to take the bait, and then they'll take your account, your money. And now, the practical wisdom of Scripture says what here? He that hastens to be rich, in verse 22, has an evil eye, a covetous eye. He that maketh, verse 20, he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent, be blameless. Is gambling a curse on society? It is. It is. Does God bless men that go out and work their fields and labor? Does God bless that? He does. And a culture that is given to gambling is not going to be sustainable for a long time. Because with that comes a whole subculture of the mafia and all those kind of things. You got all those things that foster into that type of lifestyle and that type of attitude. God says that he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after empty persons, come, I got a way you can make $1 million. Okay, now, you ever heard of Ponzi schemes? Okay, how do they work? Okay, how that works is, if you're up on the top, people underneath you know, or somebody say, hey, I know a way that you can make, you know, I'm just making this up, that you can get 25% on your investment back. And he'll set you up and you'll give him so much money and you'll get 25% back. And you say, wow, that's awesome. And then he says, well, if you give me some more money, the problem is it always feeds on the bottom people feeding the top people. But when you stop feeding the bottom people, guess what happens to the whole Ponzi scheme? As long as you have more people joining and you're giving their money to the top people, it works. But as soon as that implodes, then it all folds. And Ponzi schemes are out there. Have Christian organizations been taken with Ponzi schemes? They have. They have. Because you've got to be discerning here. There's an old saying, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be what? true. If somebody's getting 10 times the market rate on return, there is probably something a little suspicious about that, wouldn't you say? And you've got to be wise, because what does Scripture say? He that hasteth to be rich has an evil eye. What you don't want to do is have a covetous eye. You know, he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And if you're like looking at this thing, wow, this is really awesome, how much return on interest rate I'm getting here, you better beware, because it's probably not a good deal. Verse 22, he that hastes to be rich has an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. You know, if you want your financial matters to be wise, think ahead. If I do this, what's going to happen over here? You know, because Scripture warns us here, he that hastens to be rich has an evil eye. What is your eye looking at? What is your eye looking at? Now, keep that thought of your eye in mind. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 16 here for a moment. Turn to Luke 16 in the New Testament for a passage about the eye here. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Luke 16, 19. That was not the passage I was thinking of. Hold on just a second here. Let me see here. Hold on just a second. I can use that passage. I can certainly use that, but that wasn't what I was looking for here. I know the passage I want. Hold on just a second here. Let me see if I can find it. Okay. Somebody help me out here. So where is the passage where the guy said, I'll build my barns and have plenty? Where's that passage at? Luke what? 12. Luke 12? Luke 12. Yes, Luke 12. Yeah, there it is. Thank you. My wife's a good helpmate, okay? Thank you. Yes, Luke chapter 12. That's where I wanted to go to. I had the right verses in my mind, but the wrong address. Okay, Luke chapter 12, the rich fool and the eye. Now, I'm going to read this to you. I want you to tell me how many times you hear the word eye in here. And verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. That's an evil eye. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable to them. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. Okay. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. How many times do you hear the word eye in there? Was that a lot? Somebody said he had the eye disease, okay? All he saw was what I wanted. Now, if you have an evil eye after and you hasten to be rich and you take no thought for eternity or what's going to happen hereafter, because for this fellow here, look what God said in verse 20. But God said unto him, what's those next two words? Thy fool. You know, people that have material things and that's all they live for, and they don't think about eternity. They don't think about the things of God. They don't think about how they can use their money to promote God's kingdom. It's all about them. I will say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It's all about them. They have the eye disease. That's all they see is themselves. But then God steps in and he says, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. When are you going to step out into eternity? Don't know. Did that rich man have any idea that this night God was going to take him home out of this world? He had no idea. No idea that was going to be his last day on earth. What is the most foolish thing you can do? Jesus said, what would it gain a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own what? Soul. His own soul. Is that foolish? Is that foolish to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? See, a wise person will think the present world, but also about eternity. A foolish person just thinks about the now and now and what can I get? And he had the eye disease. Verse 22 of Proverbs 28, he that hastens to be rich has what kind of eye? Evil eye. And considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. You can lose everything you work for. When you leave this world, how much do you leave behind? Everything. Everything. So everything that you work so hard for, one day you're going to leave behind. Now, if a wise person worked hard in this world, God blessed him, and lived for God and prepared for eternity, and when God welcomed this child of faith by home, and this child of faith heard these words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Would those be some blessed words? They would be some blessed words to hear. "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And God can reward us for what we have done for him, what we've done for him. In Luke 12, just a few verses over, look at verse 31. "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, some people seek this present kingdom, the kingdom of this world. Others seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, give alms, provide for yourself bags which grow not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be also." Is that true? That's true. Where your treasure is, there will be also. In relation to financial matters, where should the believer's heart be? In the kingdom of God. And for God. Look at verse 27 of Proverbs 28. "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. Should believers have a generous heart to people? Should they? They should have a generous heart. My wife and I were in Lynchburg. That's where I grew up, at Lynchburg, Virginia. We both attended Liberty University. I attended Thomas Road Baptist Church. This is all fresh in my mind. Dr. Falwell. I can just tell you stories about his life, and I'll just try to be brief, how he was a generous man. He'd be out on visitation. This was back in the 50s, door knocking, inviting people to church. And he'd meet some man that was out of work and suffering and having a tough time in life. And he came home sometimes with no shoes on. And Mace would say, "Jerry, where are your shoes at? You're walking down the sidewalk in your socks." He said, "I gave it to so-and-so on the street who didn't have any shoes to wear so he could go to a job interview." He gave his very shoes, gave it to the man. That's one story I heard. When he was in Bible college, his mom gave him $4,000 back in the 50s to go off to Bible college. That was a good piece of change back then. Back in the 50s, $4,000 cash. Now, when you're on a dorm floor and you accidentally let somebody know in your dorm that you got $4,000 cash, your mom, how long do you think that took to get around the dorm? And he had people knocking on his door saying, "Jerry, I got to go home. I can't pay my school bill." And he said, "That's okay. I'll take care of it for you." He'd pay his students to go off, or somebody's car break down, he'd fix their car for them. In the first semester, he gave away almost all that $4,000. And it just hit him one day, like, my mom gave me all that money to get me through Bible college, and now I don't have any left. And you know what he did? He prayed and asked God. And when he graduated from Bible college, all of his bills were paid because people gave to him anonymously, or he'd get money in the mail or whatever. What does this verse say? He that giveth unto the poor shall not what? Lack. And if you have a generous heart to people, it's more blessed to give than to what? Receive. Is that true? And as you give to others, God can give back to you. And the same measure you give shall be given back to you. If you want a blessed life and a joyful life, learn to be a giver. Now, throughout Dr. Fowler's life, did he raise a lot of money and build a lot of buildings? He did. But it was a life of faith and trust in God. And he knew what it was like to give. I remember there was a missionary in Korea. And the Korean government made a new law that if you're an outside Christian organization, you had to own the building if you operated in Korea. And they were renting a facility, they had a school, and all of a sudden he was out of business unless they could pay the school off. He needed like $80,000 to pay the school off. And this is, you know, in old time gospel hour. And he shared with, you know, Dr. Fowler and him were talking. And Jerry Fowler looked at him and said, his name was Joe Hale. He said, Joe, I can take care of that for you. He sent him a check for $80,000, paid off the school, just that quick. How do you think Joe Hale felt about Dr. Fowler's generosity? Do you think he went home and said hallelujah a few times? I think he did. But see, you can be a blessing. It may not be $80,000, but how about $80 to help somebody fix their car that doesn't have the money? Would they go home and say hallelujah to the Lord? See, we can bless people. We can bless people. But people that don't know how to give, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. People that are stingy and say, I can't afford to give. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to miss the greatest blessings in your life if you're not a giver. I'm just telling you, that's how it is. You learn to be a giver, and God will bless you for that. Because he'll bless you in ways you cannot see. How about good health? Is that a blessing? If you're living under God's favor, and you're doing right, and God blesses you with good health, that's a blessing from God. How many medical bills have you avoided because God gave you good health? See, you give to the needy, but God might give you good health. It saves you all this money paying medical. I cannot tell you the different ways God can bless your life, but he can bless you for being a blessing. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes... What's the idea there? It's like you see a need, but you just kind of, I don't see anything. I don't see this guy over here. I don't see it. You just ignore it. God sees all that. And he wants us to be the people of God that are generous. Now, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave. He's a giving God. And if you have the Spirit of God within you, you're going to be a giving person because God is a giving person. God is a sacrificial giving person. There was a time when Jesus was in the temple and he was watching people give into the temple. And this poor widow put in what? Two what? Mites. And what did he say about her offering? She gave more than all the others because they cast in of their abundance. But she sacrificially gave for her love for God. You don't think God doesn't see that? He doesn't honor that? That sacrificial moment when you don't really have it, but you want to honor God and bless God. God sees that. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. You know, Proverbs is distilled wisdom to understand how we practically live our Christian life, because God would have us to do like that. Now, when it comes to our finances as believers, is debt a good thing or a bad thing when it comes to Christians? Should we use our credit cards continually and rack up debt? If you get into debt with credit cards, what have you presumed upon? The future. Because you don't know what the future what? holds. What if you run up a lot of credit card debt and you get a slip at work saying you're laid off? Then what? Debt is something that should be avoided as believers. We should avoid it. Avoid debt because we don't want to presume upon the future. Verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely shall be delivered. A wise person financially will avoid debt because a borrower is servant to the lender. And if you can get out of debt, you're the much better for it. You're walking wisely. You know, God has a lot to say in the scriptures about wealth and management. But if we want to live a blessed life, a life God can bless, verse 13, you deal with your sins, you confess your sins. A life God can bless, you fear the Lord. Happy is a man that feareth always. A life God can bless, you treat people right. Verses 16 and 17, 21, 23, 24, 20, all these verses, how you treat people right. A life God can bless is handles financial matters correctly. You know, all these ways is ways that God can help us to live a life that he can bless. Well, let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we have looked at financial matters here this morning in within the arena of the Christian life, Father, help us to be living our lives in such a way that honors you. And Father, you can speak to us through our finances, God. And Father, may we have a generous heart and mind toward people. And Father, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And if you have blessed us, may we be a blessing to others. Lord, help us not to have the eye disease that only thinks about ourselves and not about eternity or the kingdom of God. Father, help us to consider the poor and the needy around us. And Lord, as we give, we know it can be given unto us. So Lord, may we live our lives in a life of faith and trust and obedience, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.